John, you know what I say? Straight to the title.
Yeah, if you could, you'd pick Lakers in three, maybe two
Lakers
and a half.
In three. Tonight, Lakers getting ready for game one of the Western Conference Finals. You'll hear it here on 710 ESPN. With for a second there when I was doing that promo, I thought I was the voice of the Lakers. I was just reading words.
You are Ron Burgundy.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
Put anything in front of you, and you will read it.
6 o'clock tip tonight, John Ireland, the voice of the Lakers, will be there along with Michael Thompson. And this is a day that we've been waiting for. We've been waiting for this day for 10 years, for all intents and purposes, right? We've been waiting for this for 10 years.
Well, you could argue more than 10, because back then we used to play in May and June.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
In September and October.
Yeah, I mean, this is, and I think it's, you know, having a chance to look at it a little bit and play with the matchup. It's a tougher matchup than I originally thought.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Gee, yeah.
Welcome to reality, my friend.
But before we get to that, I want to ask you this question. Giannis, LeBron. Giannis just won the MVP. Should he have?
I'm going to answer your question the way my friend Michael Thompson would answer it. Let him have this MVP. We want the other one.
Right.
Because I think what the NBA has done is they've devalued the regular season MVP and increased the value of the finals MVP. The finals MVP is the one everyone wants. Because Giannis obviously didn't even make it to the finals. So
you're saying you have no problem with Giannis being the MVP?
As long as LeBron wins finals MVP. LeBron or AD. I'll take LeBron or AD.
I was looking at numbers, and, you know, Giannis did have an unbelievably efficient season. It crashed and burned at the end, but you got a guy that, you know, averaged 30 points a game and 14 rebounds and 6 assists a game, shot 55% from the field, defensive player of the year. I think he probably is the MVP. He probably deserves the MVP. But I think LeBron, you know, statistically didn't necessarily compare to Giannis during the regular season, but has blown the doors off everybody in the postseason, and that's the MVP that LeBron wants. He wants the finals MVP. I agree with Michael Thompson. Let Giannis have the regular. I would have voted for LeBron, but I fully expected Giannis to win this.
Well, and this lends
itself. And I don't think he's undeserving.
No, I don't either. And I think it lends itself to my argument that you should do all the awards and vote for all the awards at the end of the finals.
Yeah, completely. Always have believed that.
Because then you could just have one MVP.
Yeah. So now I know you've done all your homework.
Yes.
And I know you've got all kinds of fun facts, figures, takes on this series. What are you expecting, voice of the Lakers, John Ireland, tonight?
Well, based on the first two series, I'm not going to freak out if the Lakers lose tonight because they've lost game one in each of the other two series. Having said that, I think they're going to win tonight. And here's why. In the two games where everybody was at full strength, in other words, there were two games. They played the Nuggets four times. The Lakers went 3-1. We went over this a little bit yesterday, but I'll give a shorter version of it. In one of the games during the regular season, LeBron didn't play. So you throw that game out. Another one was a bubble seeding game where the Nuggets didn't play any of their starters in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
So I think you throw that one out. And so in the two games that mattered, Jokic really struggled. And the reason is the Lakers' mace are long.
Yeah.
For Jokic to be able to control the game, to throw all those great passes that he's so good at, he's going to have JaVale McGee, Anthony Davis, or Dwight Howard, all who are as tall as he is, staring him right in the face.
Okay,
and
the Clippers
just didn't, you know, Zoo isn't as good as those guys.
Let me jump on you right there. So if you've got a center, if you've got Dwight or JaVale on Jokic, what keeps him from just going to the arc and bombing threes?
Well, because if you have...
I mean, he shot 42% from three this year.
Okay, so tell JaVale to go out there and get him. You still have Anthony Davis as a rim protector.
Yeah, Jokic is...
When Zoo went out there to get him, it just opened up the middle, and the Clippers didn't have another shot blocker.
Right, right. So, in other words, you've got a backstop with the Lakers in this bigger lineup.
You know, right, so let me address your point directly. Okay, so when in the two games I'm talking about, so you agree with me, you got to throw out the LeBron didn't play game and you got to throw out the bubble seeding game.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah, no question.
Nuggets won one of those, Lakers won the other one. I'm throwing them both out. So I'm focused on the two games where everybody played. Okay. Anthony Davis in the first game had 25 and 10. But Dwight Howard, who came off the bench, had 13 and 6 in just 19 minutes. And oh, by the way, Rondo played well in that game. 11, 6, and 6. All right, so obviously, and then the most important stat, Jokic really struggled. He made just 4 of 12 shots. He only finished with 13 points. The Lakers just put huge size on him, and he really struggled. So he came back in the second game, Jokic, and he played a little better. But in that game, Dwight Howard, double-double, 14 and 11. Anthony Davis, 33 points. I just like this matchup for the Lakers. Now, having said that, Jamal Murray's probably going to go off. He played great in both games. In the first game, he had 22. In the second game, he had 33. So I think when you play Denver, you have to accept the fact that Jamal Murray is going to score. But, Mace, the Lakers figured out Damian Lillard in round one.
Sure.
They figured out James Harden in round two. Do you have any doubt that they'll figure out Jamal Murray?
Well, I think you know how I feel. I mean, I feel like this is Lakers in five. The player, though, that concerns me the most is Jokic more than Murray. Jokic has been hot. I mean, in the playoffs so far, he's 25, 12, and 7 assists on 51% from the field, 42% from three, and 84% from the line. He is an unbelievable player. Can play in the post, can take you out to the arc. He's the best big man passer that I've seen. Is he the best big man passer of all time?
We should ask Michael when Michael comes on with us later. We should ask him. He's in the conversation. The best passing big man I've ever seen is Bill Walton.
Yeah.
Bill Walton was just a tremendous passer. And if LeBron counts as a big man, you know, LeBron's 6'9".
Sure, sure.
Then he's in this conversation too. But
So let me throw one thing at you. Here's my sassy stat of the day.
Okay.
Last 3 minutes of close games this year, 3 points or less for the Nuggets. 3 minutes or fewer, 3 points or less. Jokic is 20 of 42. He's a plus 53. Last year, final 3 minutes of the game, 3 points or less, 16 of 31 and a plus 74. So in a close game, Jokic has proved to be very, very clutch in the last 2 years.
All right, so in the game where Jokic played well.
Yes.
Which was the second game, the game the Lakers won 120 to 116 in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Davis just locked him up in the OT.
Right.
I mean, he couldn't do anything. That's what the Lakers are going to do late in games. In those exact situations that you point out, he's going to have a first-team all-defensive player on him. If he can beat Anthony Davis, especially at the rim, more power to him. But
yeah.
Anthony Davis, see, I don't know if we've talked enough about this, and I don't know if people understand it. When Anthony Davis was a sophomore in high school, he grew 8 inches.
Yeah.
So he, Mace, he grew up as a guard.
Yeah.
Like one day he was 6'1 as a freshman and sophomore in high school in Chicago, and then he grew 8 inches.
Right.
I feel sorry for him.
So all of a sudden he became a big man with a handle.
And not only that, with the ability to guard other teams' guards.
Right.
So he can switch off onto anybody. I think he's going to take Jokic at the end of these games, and he's not going to switch. I think he's just going to stick on him. And he blocks shots, and he gets a hand in his face. Jokic is going to have to earn it. Now, that's not to say that he can't. I'm open to the possibility that Denver could win this series. I don't think you even consider it possible.
No, I don't even consider that it's possible. I don't believe Denver can beat the Lakers.
I don't think they will. I got Lakers in six, but Jokic and Murray make them a formidable opponent. I mean, just like I had Boston in that other series, Boston is jumping all over Miami early.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Butler, who I've been telling you for 2 years is the most underrated player in the NBA, Jimmy Butler's just putting that Miami team on his back and saying, screw this, I'm taking over.
Wait a minute, I remember you saying Jimmy Butler's just a pain in the ass.
No, Jimmy Butler has worn out his welcome everywhere he's been, and every time he leaves, do the math, the team he leaves gets worse, and the team he goes to gets better.
Right, but you pointed out he wears out his welcome.
Right, but you know why? Jimmy Butler is big on accountability.
Yeah, he's a big demand. He's a big guy, demanding guy. He wants things.
He wanted Andrew Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns to play hard all the time, which is why Tom Thibodeau, who was the coach there at the time, loved having Butler on the roster. But Towns and Wiggins were the two highest paid guys on the team. They said Jimmy Butler's a pain in the ass, and all of a sudden, Jimmy Butler's traded to Philadelphia. He goes to Philadelphia. He starts yelling at Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, telling them to play hard on every play. Simmons doesn't like it. Simmons is the future. And Philadelphia pays Tobias Harris instead of Butler.
Yeah.
Now he's in Miami, where Pat Riley is the most demanding, hold everybody accountable guy ever. And Spoelstra is a protege of Riley's. So it's a perfect marriage. Butler goes down there. We should bring this up with Sedano the next time he's on, because Sedano covered this team. You know, Pat Riley does not let you get away with stuff.
Sure.
Like Pat Riley, James Johnson, who's the toughest guy in the NBA, he was a martial arts fighter who was 21-0 in MMA. Okay. I mean, he's just like the toughest guy in the league.
Right.
James Johnson came into camp like 10 pounds overweight, and Riley sent him home. Riley said, "You're not tough enough to play here. Go home." And he wore out his welcome there. And so they've got Jimmy Butler and all these young guys like Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson and Kendrick Nunn.
Good
and,
young shooters.
And Goran Dragic is kind of a tough guy.
He led him last night.
And so all of a sudden you got this Miami team and Butler is yelling at all of them. And instead of saying, "He's yelling at me, I don't like playing with Jimmy," they're all going, "Well, we'll follow you. Just tell us what you want us to do." And now Butler, you know, Butler's one of those guys, Mace, that can affect every game, even if he's not scoring.
Yes.
I would never take Jimmy Butler out. He leads the league in minutes played almost every year.
Right.
He's one of those guys that doesn't want to come out. I just wouldn't take him out.
Well,
He's too good.
And now we've got a storyline, right? Obviously, Lakers-Celtics would be an unbelievable storyline because you're fighting for chip number 17. But Miami-Pat Riley versus the Lakers also is a really good storyline that sort of – hails the Lakers' past. I think we can have a lot of fun with that as a storyline, too. So we're going to get a really good – by the way, I'm already in the finals. I don't know if you noticed that. I'm in the finals already.
Of?
The NBA finals.
Yeah.
I'm already thinking, okay, do we want the Celtics? Do we want Miami? What's the good storyline? I'm planning ahead, John, because I think this is going to be a cakewalk of a series. Pass the cake.
Stop talking about cake.
Pass the cake.
Cake is it's offensive that you're talking about cake. You know what's the most unbelievable thing? I got the U.S. Open on, the golf tournament in the background.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so I'll make a long story really short. We all pick golfers. Mason and I pick golfers. Mason picked three of the same guys I picked, so I yelled at him. And I sent him a note. I said, "Hey, idiot. You can't pick three of the same guys as me. Pick three other guys so we can have some fun with it." He goes, "Oh, I didn't even look at your list. I'll pick three other guys." So the three other guys he picked, among them, Justin Thomas, Patrick Reed, and Tony Finau, who are all near the top of the leaderboard. Reed just put it to about 6 inches, and he has the lead.
Yes!
You may run away with a Brinks truck full of mythical money.
That's the thing about me. Nobody appreciates my golf knowledge.
I sure don't.
Yeah.
And
for
and,
good reason.
And
for
no,
good reason.
No, I'm not going to be able to say that about you anymore if Patrick Reed wins this.
All right, Doc. Coming up for you at 1:30, Brian Windhorst is going to join us, who always has a unique perspective on anything LeBron and anything NBA, so we will get to that. Coming up next for you.
I think Momo's coming on today at some point, too, right?
Momo's-
so we have Michael, Momo, and Windhorst on game one of the conference finals. That's a good show.
And we've got Anthony Slater from The Athletic.
Really?
Yeah. So we're loaded.
Wow. I would
we're
listen to this show
loaded.
Even if I wasn't on it.
Yeah, exactly. all right. So coming up next for you, John, a little bit more on Lakers Nuggets and plus the reality.
Justin Thomas, another birdie.
Beautiful.
Another one of your guys, another
beautiful.
Birdie.
Beautiful. Coming up next, John, the reality show that I will actually audition for. I actually want to be on. You know how I hate reality shows.
You do not
right?
hate reality shows. You secretly want to be the star of one. I can't wait to pick which one it is. Juan knows this. I know this. And you just haven't figured it out yet.
This is the best reality show of all time. I'll explain it next. Mason
Siesta
Ireland, 710
Key?
ESPN. No.
Oh.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That's right. We're gearing up for game number one, Western Conference Finals tonight. We got pregame for you at 4, and the opening tip is at 6 o'clock. It is Lakers-Nuggets. John, I mentioned you love reality TV.
Yes.
More than anybody I know. More than Juan, you love reality TV.
I watched last night Jane Fonda on Watch What Happens Live, and it was outstanding.
Okay. So there's a brand new reality show that is launching called Space Hero.
Okay.
It is a competition show where the winner secures a seat on a 2023 mission to the International Space Station. It will go to the contestant chosen through an unscripted show. The source will launch a global search for everyday people from any background who share a deep love for space exploration.
Okay, there's one thing.
Sign me up.
There's one thing that concerns me here.
Yeah.
That it's a competition show.
Yeah.
What types of competition are they having? Because you know, Mace, you know I love you, but
yeah.
You are the most uncoordinated human being I've ever met.
Yeah, I've grown more uncoordinated with age.
Yes.
If these
competition shows require like you jumping over a bar, you'll shatter your foot. If they require you competing in any type of athletic event, you'll do a mace plant.
Yes.
So we need to find out if these are now. If these are intellectual competitions,
Jeopardy. You know how smart I am, Game of Games.
Yes. Well, no, that's not a good example. But no, if it's like an SAT test,
right.
You would do very well.
I'm totally in. Well, it says here it's a combination of academic and physical contests.
Yeah, the physical contests are not for you, but the academic, you could do so well. It could be like in the decathlon, you could be so good in four events that the other three wouldn't matter.
Would you not love to win this thing, John?
Oh, hell no.
You do not want to go to the International Space Station.
Mace, I don't want to leave the country.
Listen,
I don't want to leave Newport Beach. This is up your alley. You want to go to Prague, and you want to go to,
I want to see the world,
Finland,
man. I'm only getting one crack at this. I want to go everywhere and do everything and try everything at least once.
In the greatest country in the history of the world, I want to stay right here, and I also live on the greatest planet in the history of the world.
Oh, this is a good planet.
Right here.
You don't want to leave
this
planet.
You want to leave the planet? More power to you.
Yeah, sign me up. Lindsay, you would do it too, right?
Yeah, 100%.
You dream of space travel.
It would be great. I mean,
you guys couldn't even go outside. You'd be like Matt Damon in The Martian. You'd have to eat your own poop.
No, you're on this. It's not like that. It's
Come
not
on.
Like that. And
yeah,
plus,
what are you
I don't think he
about?
Did. He grew potatoes. I don't think he did ate poop.
No, that's what he did. He used it.
He grew potatoes.
Right, but how did he? What did he use for fertilizer?
All right,
you know what I'm talking about, right?
I am. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
I do,
so he
yeah.
fertilized, but he didn't eat it.
Well, it's sort of indirectly.
Yeah, you have a fundamental misunderstanding about the movie.
I do not, and I do not want to get in a space station where I'm going to be stuck for 6 years. What was it with the movie Gravity where they had to go back and they were up there for like another 7 years?
For 7 years.
Was that The Martian also?
No. The Martian was Matt Damon growing potatoes on Mars.
Yeah, but didn't they go back to get him?
Go back to get him.
Jessica
Chastain went back and picked him up on a ship.
And Michael Pena, and they were stuck up there for like 4 years.
The other movie, though, that you just referenced, Gravity, only has two people in it. It's George Clooney and Sandra Bullock. And this is my mom's review. I like movies with more people in them. Oh, God. Things mom says. All right, coming up next for you, we will dig into tonight's Western Conference Final, game number one, Lakers versus Nuggets, with a guy who knows the game inside out and knows LeBron. really well. It is Brian Windhorst from ESPN. Coming up next for you, Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland, what is going on? Thank you very much for being out there. Thank you for listening. We appreciate you. And, of course, tonight we're all going to appreciate the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals versus the Denver Nuggets. You'll hear that game right here starting at 6 o'clock on the home of the Lakers, 710 ESPN. And joining us right now is ESPN NBA analyst Brian Windhorst. Brian, thanks a lot for making time for us.
No problem.
Brian, if you go back to the beginning of the season, I said a bunch of stuff. I know there have been memes of you saying a bunch of stuff, but I thought the Clippers were going to be elite defensively, just based on their individual defenders. I thought if you put Patrick Beverley and Paul George and Kawhi Leonard on the wing, the one thing they'll be able to do, even if they struggle on offense, is lock people up. I know this is not a short answer, but I'll ask you to give me a short answer. More than anything else, what happened to the Clippers?
They were less than the, you know, the whole was less than the sum of the parts.
No, that's a good way.
I didn't think they would be elite defensively. I thought they would be elite across the board, they never got there. And it's a major disappointment. It's one of the biggest disappointments in the last 20 years in the NBA.
Ask one follow-up on that. Both Kawhi and Paul George will be entering a year where they can opt out after this coming season. Do the Clippers make any significant move? There are rumors that maybe they would consider moving Paul George. What are you hearing about that?
Well, they have a major decision to make about a contract extension for him. So he is eligible for a contract extension. They can add up to 3 years to his contract. And considering what they traded, I know it was technically for him. It was really for him and Kawhi. But considering what they traded, I think they're compelled to make that offer. Hmm. If they don't make that offer, and if he hears that offer and turns it down, then I think you have a discussion point. But let's see what happens, and that's something that would get done in the offseason.
We're talking to Brian Windhorst from ESPN. Brian, tonight, game one, Lakers-Nuggets. I actually like this matchup a lot for the Lakers. I think they can put size on Jokic, which I think is going to hamper him. I did a game in Denver back in December where Jokic really struggled. He only made 4 of 12 shots. He never really impacted the game, and that's because Anthony Davis and JaVale McGee just jumped on him defensively early. He's a better player now. Jokic looks different. He's playing better. What do you think of the matchup, Jokic going against the Laker bigs?
I don't think you could find a better guy to have on your team to give you a chance against him than Anthony Davis. I mean, maybe Bam Adebayo. That guy is developing into one of the great big man defenders in the league. But having Anthony Davis gives you so many options. I really think the question is, when do you go to Anthony Davis on him? How much do you put Anthony Davis on him? Because you don't want AD to get into foul trouble. But the Lakers were dealt a pretty difficult hand in this postseason. They lost their home court advantage, which they had gotten. They lost Avery Bradley. And then I thought it was kind of difficult for them to have to play a team in Portland that was able to win their way, and they almost had a little the Bachelor to win the right to play the Lakers. It was a whole bunch of teams could play together. And so I feel like they had some negative karma. Well, that karma has now swung back around because now they don't have to play the Clippers and they have a team that they match up really well with. There was a big reason why the Lakers went 3-1 against the Nuggets this year. And Anthony Davis guarded Jokic down the stretch in most of those games, and he had as a weapon that swings in their favor here.
Milwaukee out, Clippers out. Seems like LeBron has a clear shot at a championship. What do you think?
Absolutely. He is, I mean, like right now in our, in where we are in society, it's impossible to predict the future. But he has to realize that this could end up being his last best chance. We have no idea what the future will bring. This is a golden opportunity. He has had some misfortune in some postseasons, Mace. What happened with him when he lost Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love, they may have won that series. Then the cap spike happened. And I will tell you that the 2017 Cavs would have won the championship in most seasons in NBA history. You probably don't remember that unless you were really paying attention, but they went 12-1 in the East playoffs. That was a team that was loaded. But because of that cap spike that enabled the Warriors to sign Kevin Durant, LeBron's chances of winning multiple titles in Cleveland were cut out from underneath him. And so after having, again, some bad karma, he now gets it smiling on him, especially with everything that's happened to the Lakers this year, with China, with Kobe, with the pandemic. Now is the time. It has swung back around for him. And I promise you, he fully, fully understands that. He has been down this road so long. He knows how difficult it is to get something to go into your favor. He will understand what this all means. He will communicate that to the team, and you will see the best from LeBron he can possibly give, because this could be his chance to put that star on the court, to put that banner up there.
We're talking to Brian Windhorst from ESPN. Wendy, let me talk to you about what's going on in the Eastern Conference. The Celtics have had the lead twice in these two games, and they've been unable to close. It's weird. It's almost like they're a really good baseball team without a closer. It gets late in the game, and Jimmy Butler seems to control everything that's happening. Do the Celtics – a friend of mine's a Celtic fan. I said, if you win game three, I think you're right back in it. But I don't even know if I believe it. Do you think the Celtics are still alive in this series?
The bad bullpen is a great comparison. Quite frankly, the Heat are out coaching the Celtics. Their schemes and what they've done mid-game adjustments are beating Boston. And I know Brad Stevens is highly regarded, but Eric Spoelstra is one of the best at this. And 10 years later, 10 years after the Miami Heat were the most hated basketball team in America, unless you're a Boston Celtics fan, I don't know how you can watch the Heat play and not love the way they play, the way they hustle, the way they share the ball, the way they cover for each other, the way they compete, the way that they keep each other's spirits up, the way that they don't care who gets the shots. They are an incredibly fun team to watch. They are a truly modern team in that they play offense like the Golden State Warriors pioneered in the last 5 or 8 years with all these shooters out there. But they play defense like a 2020 defense with no center, with switching and everything like that. They are an incredibly modern team. So modern that they don't even have a real superstar. I mean, Jimmy Butler is a superstar, but not in the traditional sense. It is amazing to watch them play. They are 10-1 in the playoffs, which is amazing. And many teams have been harmed by the bubble. The challenges that come along with this environment have really pulled teams back. It seems like the Heat have actually benefited from it, because the style of team that they are what their organization holds dear is enriched by this commune environment. And it's really been amazing to watch. I do think Gordon Hayward coming back, because I think there's a good chance he will play in game three. I do think that could potentially help them, but I have no idea what he's going to be able to give the Celtics.
All right. Last thing for me, Brian. Easy question. Lakers in blank.
I don't make predictions on series. I've never done that. But I would just say that the Lakers have a golden opportunity, but they're going to have to play. They're going to have to respect. And I think LeBron's comments about respecting them were very, very smart. LeBron is very, very savvy about these things. He wants to set the tone that they overwhelmingly respect the Nuggets, because the Nuggets are feeding off of disrespect right now. So I think his tone to his team and their style of play will be to respect this team as the second best team in the West who's earned their way there. And you know what? They were the better team than the Clippers. I would not have foreseen that, but they absolutely were the better team. They have earned their way here, and I expect the Lakers to treat it as such.
All right. Hey, listen, Brian, thank you very much for coming on. We appreciate you making time for us as always, man.
Have a good weekend, guys.
You too, Brian.
Brian Windhorst from ESPN, and he doesn't make predictions on series. Well, what's the fun of that? You got to make a prediction.
Yeah, but the problem is he's got to be around all those guys every time. So as soon as he makes one, they hold it against him.
Oh, they hold it against him, yeah. Did you see the ESPN experts listed their picks for the series?
Let me guess. They all picked the Clippers.
Yeah, they all picked the Clippers. No, I think there were 15 experts. It was 14-1 Lakers. Bobby Marks, the one Bobo that picked Denver.
Really?
Bobby the Bobo. That's what they call him.
Bobby Marks is a good guy.
Bobby the Bobo.
Bobby the Bobo. All right. You know, coming up next, we've been doing a lot of talking. Windhorst has been doing a lot of talking. I asked that question. Lakers in blank. It's a good question to throw out there on the phones. How do you feel about this series? How do you think it's going to play out? Lakers in blank. Do you think Denver is any threat? Or is it, like I say, a cakewalk? Give me some cake.
Hey, if you think this is going to be so easy, why are you saying Lakers in five? Why aren't you saying Lakers in four?
Well, I'll tell you that coming up next. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. 710-ESPN, Mason and Ireland. By the way, we're not going to call it weed anymore, John. Weed is an inappropriate. We're going to call it pura yesca.
Pura yesca!
That's just stupid.
No, that's I'm learning Spanish from Jorge.
Good.
I'll throw you under the bus, man.
Well, where else would I get that? The Lakers getting ready for game one of the Western Conference Finals tonight. 4 o'clock pregame, 6 o'clock tip, two dynamic duos, LeBron James and Anthony Davis versus Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray for the Nuggets. And 877-710-ESPN, we've talked a lot. Want to know how you think the series is going
to
play out.
Before we get to the calls, Mace, I want to, as Michael would say, ax you the question again.
Okay.
You're Mr. Bring Me Cake. This
Bring
is
Me Cake!
I said from the beginning, Lakers in six, it's going to be a highly contested series. You say, no, John, bring me cake. It is a cakewalk, but you're not picking a sweep. A cakewalk would indicate sweep.
Okay.
Why five?
Now, okay, so I'll tell you a secret. I don't want this to go anywhere beyond just you and me, okay?
Okay.
I have a feeling that just like in the previous two series,
they lose tonight.
The Lakers are going to lose tonight.
Well, one thing
I think those long layoffs do not help the Lakers at all. I thought they came out very lethargic in that last series.
Okay, can I give you the counter argument?
Yeah, sure.
I don't think it's a bad take. I think it makes a lot of sense based on what we saw in the first two series. But I think the Clippers being eliminated changes everything. Like Brian Windhorst was saying, it's like, oh, now we're the favorites, and we've got an opportunity. We've got to lock in. I think you're going to see a very locked-in, focused Laker team. And the reason that what won me over is when we had Vogel on the show yesterday, we had Frank Vogel, and I said, you remember I asked him, I go, what have you been doing with all this downtime in the bubble?
Yep.
And he said, as soon as I hang up with you guys, I'm going back to watching more film on the Nuggets. I think that they all realize – hey, this has opened up for us, and we have a golden opportunity if we focus and play our best to win another title, and I think they're going to win tonight because of it. I think they're going to come out of the gate hot. But let's go to the phones. John in Cerritos. Hey, John, you're on 710 ESPN. What happens in this series, John?
Lakers are going to win in five, and I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
AD is going to be the defensive player of the year that he should have been in the regular season. I got an interesting stat to share with you guys. In the meetings that Denver played with the Lakers, Jamal Murray was 3-for-14, guarded by Anthony Davis. Not only can Anthony Davis guard Jokic, but he can also guard the perimeter. So if he switches on to Murray, Jamal Murray has to go against AD. And as I referenced just now, he doesn't shoot too well against Murray, or against Davis, rather. Not only that, he guarded Russell Westbrook in the series against Houston, and he did a really good job as well. AD's going to be a monster this series on both sides of the ball. Lakers in five.
All right, thanks, Justin.
Nice.
And Mace,
good take.
He brought something else up.
Yeah.
It's good for the Lakers, trust me.
Yep.
That the announcement came today.
Oh,
that
yeah,
Giannis
for
is
MVP.
The MVP.
Yeah.
Because LeBron's going to look at that and go, really? Really?
Yeah.
I'll show you who the real MVP is. All right, now, this says that we have a man named Arson on line
Interesting.
Three.
Named after a crime.
Yeah, Arson, did we get your name correct?
Yes, you did my name correct. Arson, lightning fires on a sports industry.
Okay.
Got it.
Now,
perfect.
Arson, what happens in this series?
And this series, my prediction, Lakers in six, all the respect to the Nuggets, but they don't have no answers for AD and LeBron and upcoming, especially Caruso and Alex.
Nice.
All right, thanks, man.
Setting LA on fire. There's Arson.
Here's Tom in Hollywood. Hey, Tom, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi, Tom.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up, Tom?
I got the Lakers in four.
Beautiful.
Now that's a cakewalk. Tom is predicting.
It's a cakewalk. Where's my cake?
Yeah. That's a real. That's
in three if I could, right, Mace?
Exactly. I'm right there with you, man. Cakewalk.
Oh, hey, and bring back Thompson and Trudell, please.
Okay, I will mention that to the powers that be.
Amen.
Yes.
Bring back. You know, can I tell you a little secret?
Lakers in four.
Lakers in four. Like it.
Mace, can I tell you a little secret?
Sure. Yeah.
Just between me and you, since we're doing a lot of that today.
We're keeping this to ourselves, right?
Michael wouldn't do it.
Seriously?
Yeah, he doesn't want to work that hard.
Does he not like Trudell anymore?
He loves Trudell.
Oh, okay.
Trudell would do it, I think. Well, Trudell.
Did they have a falling out, John? Did Trudell and Thompson have a falling out?
Michael, you know what? He might do it in a – we'll ask him today. He's coming on later today. He might do it in a pandemic. But he doesn't want to drive all
right.
the way up from his palatial.
So he'd
estate.
Probably do it from his house.
Yeah, if they could swing like what you and I have been doing for the last 6 months.
Yeah.
Then we maybe get Thompson and Trudell back. But other than that, Michael would just say, I don't want to work
Thompson
that hard.
Thompson and Trudell, right again.
Oh,
all right, coming up next for you is The Scoop, all the stuff in sports that we didn't get to yet today. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.